Please get your Bibles as we will go to the Word of God to see what thus saith the Lord to us today. And as often as I remind you, God's Word will not return void. God sends His Word to help us. But you got to obey it if you want to be helped by the Lord. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. As we go to God's Word, we are reading the 9th verse. John chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. We thank God for the reading of that 9th verse of the 15th chapter of John. And the Lord has placed on my heart to preach this morning from this subject. Yes. Jesus loves me. Amen. Everybody in here, would you repeat with me? Yes. Yes. Jesus loves me. Amen. Amen. That's worth a praise. Hallelujah. To know that Jesus loves us. Well, when you think about human relationships and a person. Well, I'm going to put the shovel on the men because the Bible says he who finds a wife. Yes. So it's our responsibility. Yes. When you love, love, first of all, is an action word. Now, you can tell the person you love them, but if you don't do anything, if you don't show it, amen, if you don't take them out to dinner sometimes, if you don't bring some flowers, amen. Not on anniversary and birthday, but in between, amen. Not give them a card that what you used to do before you got married, and those who are yet unmarried. This is what they do: get a card and send it to them, and then they express your love for them. In other words, what I'm trying to get us to see. That when you love somebody, you do something. Amen. It's not about you. It's about others. So that's the human part. But now, the scripture says, Jesus says he loves us. So let's see what he did. Since love is an action word, amen. He just didn't just say, I love you. Jesus did something for us. All right, so first point I want us to look at, Jesus was our substitute. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says in the 21st verse, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In other words, Jesus took our place in giving his life. We were the ones that were guilty. We were the ones that had sinned against God. We the one were under condemnation, but look at the love of God. He made Jesus to be sin for us. And the scriptures say, who knew no sin? Jesus was sinless. Jesus could not sin. He's a righteous God. Amen. They lied on him, but just because somebody tell a lie doesn't have to be true. So they told lies on Jesus. But Jesus never sinned. He was sinless. But look what he did. He
was made sin for us. He didn't know any sin. And he did that so we could be the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus was our substitute. We were the ones that were sinners. But he's the one that paid the price for sinners. So that we, who are sinners, born sinners, and unless you come to Jesus, you're going to die a sinner, might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Because Jesus did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves.
We couldn't
go and pay our sin debts because we would have died sinners.
Yeah.
But I thank God that Jesus showed us that he loved us by taking our place. That's what the substitute was. He took our place on the cross. Amen. You know, that's a great benefit for us.
Yes.
That Jesus took. We can say, those who say, my place.
Yes.
Because we were the ones, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And we came here sinners.
Yes.
Amen. Nobody had to teach us to sin. That was our nature. But thank God, God had a way for us. He had a plan for us so that we could come out of sin and be made righteous people. So the first thing that Jesus did for us to show us that he loved us, he became our substitute. And let's look at the next point that he did as he shows his love for us. Jesus became our sin bearer. 1 Peter. If you would, let's turn together to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'm reading in verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Jesus became our sin bearer. We, as I said earlier, were the sinners. We were the guilty party. But God made him to become sin for us. Amen. And because he became sin for us, you know, the Bible says that sin separates man from God. And on the cross, Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, we thank God that Jesus became our sin bearer. We should have been the one that were on the tree. And the scripture reminds us that everyone that is hanging on the tree, they're cursed.
Amen.
We were the ones that were cursed, but Jesus became a curse for us. Why? Because he loved us. And he didn't want us to have to suffer and go to that lake of fire that will be burning forever and ever. So Jesus became our sin bearer. It was our sins that he had upon him. He didn't sin. Now we need to get that perfectly clear. He didn't sin, but he carried our sins. Amen. He took our sins and paid our sin debts as he was crucified on the cross. And over in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, it says, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. The Bible is making it perfectly clear that Jesus never sinned.
Amen.
The truth of this matter, he could not sin. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? We had one who could not sin, but he became the sin bearer of our sins, and he took the punishment that belonged to us. Oh, that's love. That's love. All right, so we find out that Jesus loved us so much that he took our sins, and our sins caused him to lose his life. And we need to remember that God sent Jesus into the world to die.
Yeah.
He sent Jesus here to die for you and me. because we were on death row. Yeah. We were hopeless. There was no remedy for us of our own. We didn't have the power to not have to go and be punished by God forever and ever. But I thank God that God in his love and kindness toward men, thank God that he had a son who was obedient and did everything God commanded him to do, and he went to the cross with our sins, and I thank God he paid the debt that we owed. Amen. That's a blessing. He paid the debt that we owe. You had a debt in your personal life, and some family member or friend went there and paid that debt. Wouldn't you be rejoicing? Amen. But look what Jesus did. He gave his life. Amen. He paid our debt. That is a reason to rejoice and say, thank you, Lord, because we couldn't pay it. Because what was required of us was we had to die without the shedding of blood. Amen. Without dying, you couldn't satisfy that requirement that God had on us. Oh, I thank God for Jesus. Yes, Jesus loved me. He loves you. Thank God. Let's see what else Jesus did for us to prove to us that he loved us. Jesus became our mediator. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. As we see what Jesus continues to do for us to show us that he loves us. Hebrews the 9th chapter. Listen what the 24th verse says. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are a figure of the true, but into heavens itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. All right? We know that under the old covenant, the high priest went into the Holy of Holies once a year, and he had to take a blood sacrifice for his sins and the sins of the people. Amen. But that temple, that holy place was made by hands. God gave them instruction and man put that together. But what that does, that was pointing to the true kingdom, the true tabernacle, the true holy place. And then, but it said, but look, and here as we look at this, it says, but into heaven itself. Jesus didn't go into the holy place made by hands. He went into heaven. Amen. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. The Bible says that he is now sitting on the right hand of the Father. Jesus is there as our mediator. He is there to speak on our behalf. He is there so that he can say, I died for them. Amen. He is there so that he could bring us back into a right relationship with the Father. We were estranged from God. But I thank God that God made a way for us. He loved us. God loved us. The scripture says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? If you believe in Jesus, the one that God sent into this world to pay our sin debts, if we confess our sins to him, if we turn from our wicked ways and go to Christ and cry out for mercy and acknowledge this, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, forgive me of my sin. The Bible lets us know that God sent him here so that he could forgive us of our sins after he paid the sin debt. Jesus is the only one that can forgive us of our sins. Jesus is the only one that can make you righteous. And I thank God, but folks, again, the world in which we're living in, people are getting further and further away from believing in the Lord. They're believing in everything, look like under the sun. Amen. They believe in animals. They believe in themselves. They believe in figures. They look at stars and look at all these things, and they look at the wrong place. The right place is in the Word of God. God has given us His Word. It's the book of truth, and the Word of God will help you. The Word of God will open your understanding. The Bible says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Thank God for the book of truth. You know, look at men. They're studying the stars and they're studying all these things. We don't know how to live here on earth.
Amen.
Amen. We need to be trying to figure out what's here on earth, because we don't know everything is here. Amen. They're talking about things are extinct, and then later on they find something. Amen. God made this world. Amen. And we need to learn how to live here. We can't even live here in peace while we're going way out in the stars. And when you listen to it, you think about what they say, talking about this world was made from a big bang. There's no big bang. The Bible let us know God made this world. He created the heaven and the earth and everything that's in it. And there's evidence that God created it. When you read the Bible and look at what God created, amen. We're still eating fish.
Amen.
Amen. The sun is still shining every day.
Amen.
Amen. The moon is there at night, the lesser light. The stars are there.
Yes.
Amen. And God created all those things.
Yes.
Thank God. And man, with their brilliant minds, can't even reach the Word of God and agree that God is right. But they're going to find out.
Amen.
They're going to find out. Amen. Because the day is coming where every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Oh, I thank God He is the Lord. And I thank God that He loved us. And He's a mediator. He's there as our representative. Amen. And I tell you what, He wins every case. Amen. When you obey His word, we are living witnesses that He delivers from sin. We are living witnesses that He changes our lives. We are living witnesses that the things I used to do, I don't do that anymore. The places we used to go that were contrary to the Word of God, we don't go there anymore. The way we used to treat people when we were sinners, when God saved us, we don't treat people that way anymore. We're the one that they pick on, and we take it. Why? Because living for God, part of this living for God is suffering. But there's one thing. We sang that in that song before the message today, where Jesus said that He will strengthen us.
Yes.
Amen. He will help us.
Amen.
He will uphold us.
Yes.
With the right hand of His righteousness.
Yes.
And the Bible lets us know, Jesus said, we're in the Father's hand. And nobody can pluck us out of His hand. When God saves us, nobody can cause us to be unsaved. Listen now, the key is when God saves us. See, some folks save themselves. Amen. Because they had an emotional experience. Amen. But I'm telling you, it's not based on emotion. It's based on the Word of God. Because the Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's Word is forever. Say, thank you, Lord.
Thank
you, Lord. We are born by the Word of God. And God keeps us. God keeps us and assures us He's left it this way. He gives us eternal life. And eternal means forever. And the only way you're going to get out of being kept by God, you got to get out of eternity. You can't get out of eternal life. Our salvation is not temporary.
Amen.
It's an eternal salvation. And once God saves us, the Bible lets us know that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In other words, it's registered in heaven. And then God comes back through His Word and let us know that He will not blot it out. Amen. And if God says He will not blot it out, that means that we're His children forever. And then the Bible lets us know that when God saves us, we become God's children. Amen. He becomes our Father. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Oh, I thank God. But Jesus is there as our mediator. Thank God for Jesus, saints. He loves us. He's showing us that he loves us. He's doing for us that what mama and daddy couldn't do. He's doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Thank God for Jesus. All right, so he's our mediator. The right hand of the Father. He's not in some temple built by man. He's sitting at the right hand of God. And I thank God he's there on our behalf. So look what else did Jesus do for us. He's our sacrifice to show us again that he loves us. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And I'm reading verse 4. Well, I start at verse 3. He says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Jesus was our sacrifice. And what does that mean? He offered a life, his life. Jesus gave his life. It was the one, we were the ones that should have been crucified. But Jesus gave his life. He gave himself for our sins. And there again, it just shows us that all the things that Jesus endured, it was for us. All the enduring them whipping him. And you know, when they whipped the person under the laws at that time, they gave him 40 lashes. And they used a leather strips, and sometimes they had little pieces of metal or rocks in it. So what it does, as they whip the bare body, those rocks and metals cut into his body. 40 lashes that we were the ones who needed to take that. But Jesus endured the suffering. And don't you think for one moment he didn't suffer. Amen. Amen. He suffered. And you can imagine being whipped by somebody that hates you. Can you can imagine that they probably, with all their might, tried to whip Jesus. They did whip him. But oh, I thank God. In that it says, by his stripes we are healed. He endured that so we could be saved. Amen. He endured the suffering and the pain for us to be saved. So we find out here he gave himself for our sins. Everything I've read so far has been for us, to show us he loves us, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to deliver us from our prisons. He came to open our blind eyes. Jesus came to set the captives free and to deliver us from this world. We're in the world, but we don't do the things of the world. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane that Father, that he prayed for us that he would not take us out of the world. Amen. We got to live here. Oh, yeah. Amen. Once we're saved, he doesn't transfer us to some island or some place with nothing but holy people. We got to wait on that. We got to wait for Jesus to come back to take us to glory. But we got to live here with our neighbors and our co-workers and with strangers, people who don't know it. And people hate you because they look at you and they don't like you because they just don't. Why you don't like them? I don't know. Just something. I don't like them. Amen. All this evil world, folks lying on you, folks mistreating you. But all those things are part of living for the Lord, because we have to suffer. Last week we found out We have to believe in him, and not only that, we got to suffer for the cause of Christ. But that's all right. One day we're going to be through with the troubles of this world. One day we're going to a place where there'll be everlasting joy and happiness and peace, no sickness, no none of those things. Oh, but we got to get through here. So Jesus delivered us. Because you remember, one day we were part of it. Amen. We were sinners. We were doing the sinning things too. Amen. Amen. But thank God there was one who had power to deliver us. And his name is Jesus. Deliver us in his presence, even according to the will of God and our Father. It's not God's will that any should perish. He's made a way so that you can have eternal life. He's made a way so you can live in this world and not be part of it. Thank God for Jesus. He is our sacrifice. He's showing us again that he loves us. Everything he's done so far is because he loves us. He's showing us his action. All right, and the last point I want us to look at, that Jesus is our Redeemer. In other words, there was a ransom that was on our heads and is needed to be paid. And Jesus, we sing the song, paid it all. He paid the ransom that was due. And let us go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 11. It reads, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus came here to die. Think about that. And he came here to die because of the sins that we have committed. He came here to give his life, to pay the ransom, to redeem us from the bondage of sin, to give us everlasting life, to live in us forever, to guide our footsteps along this evil world, who will be our provider, who will be our helper, who would be the ones that in the midst of trouble, he would fight for us. When people would come against us, Jesus, if he didn't give us what to say, all we had to do is to hold our peace. Because in his word, he promised, God says that vengeance is mine. And I will repay, shall repay. He's going to do it. You don't have to worry about your enemies and the things that they've done for you. As a matter of fact, the word of God tells us that we ought to pray. Pray for them. Pray for them. Don't hate them. Don't pray for God to do evil to them. Pray that God would save them. Pray that God will help them. Pray, and we got to forgive them. We got to forgive them because in order to pray for them, you got to forgive them. And they need to pray for their salvation. And when you pray for them to be saved and God save them, we won't have an enemy anymore. We will have a brother in the Lord now. We will have that one that did us wrong won't do it anymore. Because he has been cleansed from unrighteousness. He has been given a new spirit. He has been made holy. He has been made righteous. And he has to love everybody because the Bible says we are to love our enemies. Jesus paid the ransom so we could do those things. Jesus paid our sin debt to bring us out of bondage. He could have just spoke the word because he had the power. But there was a requirement that God had. In order to be forgiven of sins, you had to pay the debt. And Jesus paid the debt. Jesus paid our debt And that debt was his dying on the cross. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. Well, 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Look at verse 15. And that he died for all. Jesus died for all. We can say he died for me. That they which live should not henceforth live unto himself. Yes. No. Self has been crucified. Amen. We were crucified with Christ. The life I live now is the life of Christ in me. We don't do the things like they did in Judges that were right in their own eyes. And every time they did it, they got in trouble. And God had to send judges to deliver them. When they cried out for mercy. Thank God he's a God of mercy. And that we should live not henceforth in terms ourselves. I'm glad that we don't have set the rules for what's righteousness. And what we need, how we need to treat our fellow man. Because each one of us will have a different rule, pretty much. Thank God we live by the same word of God. And that word gives us God as God, Christ in us. So we don't live unto ourselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Oh, I thank God that God loved us so much that he sent a redeemer, one to pay our ransom, the debt that we owed. And after he has paid our debt, and we come to Christ in faith, and we repent of our sins, we cry out for mercy, and God gives us mercy because he's a God of mercy. When we ask God to forgive us of our sins, he forgives us of our sins. And when he forgives us of our sin, that 17th verse says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that only happens because, yes, Jesus loves me. Amen. Repeat again. Let's say that again. Yes, Jesus loves me. Thank God. Everyone, please stand. Everyone, please stand. God bless you. We rejoice that Jesus loved us, and he loved us so much that he paid our sin debt. That debt has been paid in full. If you have faith in him and come to him and cry for mercy, he'll give you mercy. If you ask for the Holy Ghost, he will give it to you. And I'm here to let you know today, if you're not saved, please pray and ask God to save you. Because if you're not saved, when the world ends, there's no way unsaved people will go back with Jesus. You're going to another place. And that place is a place of punishment. But there is a better place. There's a better place called heaven. And Jesus died and made a way for us to be able to, when he comes back, caught up to meet him in the midair and go away, and we will forever be with the Lord in that place where Jesus says he was going away to prepare for us. He's coming back, but he's coming back for the righteous. If you're not saved, please pray every day. You don't have to wait till you get to church for God to save you. He saved you at home. He saved you on your job, and you won't be acting unseemly. Amen. He will save you in the cafeteria, eating dinner, lunch, whatever. He can save you anywhere when your heart is repentant and cry out for mercy. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love. We thank you when we couldn't help ourselves. You sent your darling son who came here to pay the debt that we owed. He came here to deliver us. He came here to set us free from the bondage of the devil. And for that, we thank you. We thank you that you loved us so much, Lord, that you provided a way out of sin. And you did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves in sending your son. Lord, we ask you to help us to be mindful every day that, yes, Jesus loved me. And he's proven it. He's shown his love for us in the actions that he's taken. And because he loves us, today I can say, thank God I'm a child of God. Thank God I have eternal life. Thank God my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And thank God one day Jesus is coming back to take us home. And for that we say, thank you, Lord. We thank you for the love. And Lord, keep us in your will. Keep us with our minds stayed on you. Keep us in prayer. Keep us with thanksgiving in our hearts. For you've done a great and wonderful thing for us. And Lord, we ask you to continue to strengthen us and help us, uphold us with your right hand of your righteousness, and forever keep us in your special care. This we pray in Jesus' name. Thank God. Amen and amen. God is good. You may take your seats. We serve a great God who is worthy of all our praises. And we thank God that Jesus loves me. You know, the children used to sing that song. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me. So once again. Yeah, Jesus loves me. Yeah, Jesus loves me. Yeah, Jesus loves me.